welcome back to Consider This. Melissa Sherrod here tonight. We're chatting to Dr. Kaw Swee Keng, physician and global health expert at Oxford University. And I want to know, I mean, going forward, we've talked a lot about what we know about the disease so far, but let's widen the conversation to pandemics in general. I'm just wondering whether future pandemics are preventable, or are we just getting better at managing them? And this is a threat that will inevitable.
Nisa, I've got bad news. It's very likely that this will not be the last pandemic that we will see. Actually, it's not really a pandemic yet. It's definitely a public health emergency of international concern.
Right.
It definitely will not be the last outbreak that we will see. Climate change, increasing urbanization, higher patterns of travel and trade are all very good reasons for why there will be more pandemics or outbreaks or BHEICs in the future. We have to prepare for this new normal, so to speak, where we're assailed by one after another. Hopefully not, but we have to prepare for the worst case scenario. There are lots that governments can do. Let's talk about Malaysia. There are also lots that international governments can do as a community. One specific thing that the Malaysian government can do is to strengthen our health system. Here I make a pitch for universal health coverage, or UHC, which is a stated objective of the World Health Organization. What it means is that everybody in the country will receive healthcare, when they need this, without going bankrupt. When you increase population health, you will increase the physical and immune system resilience of every citizen, and you eliminate reservoirs of infection. When you extend it to even non-citizens in appropriate measures, you make sure that the entire population is safe and healthy, and therefore you're reducing the risk of, say, an uncontrolled outbreak in the future.
You know, Swee Keng, we didn't get a chance to talk about your history, but you're trained as a doctor here at UKM, and you've worked in the health service. You know it intimately, right? The Malaysian health service. Are we doing that? I mean, are we creating the conditions for a healthy population with resilience, or have we let that whole issue slide?
Yes and no. Yes, we've created some. Can we do better? Yes, we can. Let me talk about what we've done well. We're spending 4.5% of our GDP on health, as in all of Malaysia. The global average is 10%.
Okay.
For the amount of money that we're spending on health, 4.5% versus the global average of 10%, we're getting great outcomes for our money. But imagine if you actually spend 10% of GDP on health. So this is something that we do well. For good outcomes, reasonably good outcomes, it can be better if we spend more money. However, what we're not really doing well is to also consider the social determinants of health. We think of health as more doctors and more hospitals, Sherrod. However, it may be true that to improve population health, what's really needed is poverty eradication, better nutrition, better piping so that we have better quality and clean water, clean air, and fix the haze problem. All the social and economic and commercial determinants of health are more important to a health system than merely spending more money on building more hospitals and doctors. So in many ways, we're doing well, and in many ways as well, we can do much better. Health remains a political choice.
Mm.
If you want to have good health for the population, you make good political choices so that you're able to increase the population health, increase the population immunity, and more specifically to future outbreaks, they're less likely to get infected. If they are infected, they're more likely to recover. This is what I mean by strengthening health systems.
Okay.
Well, let's look at the, you know, you mentioned the doctors and the nurses and the hospitals, physical hospitals. What about that? I mean, how is it, and what can you tell about how it's managing under all this pressure now?
I think it's managing really well. I think the Ministry of Health is doing a good job, especially in risk communications. The communications have been very frequent on multiple media. It's been very accurate and very holistic, and in general terms, very transparent. If you hold itself, the Ministry of Health, up to this ideal standard of transparency, I think they will meet most people's ideals. I'm really happy with that. One challenge is that we don't know when this virus will peak. We also don't know when this outbreak will peak and will last. Because of that, we cannot sustain a 24/7, high tempo, high intensity, high pressure, high risk, and no mistakes environment. The 270,000 colleagues of mine, I guess, in the Ministry of Health Malaysia, could be under tremendous strain. I receive some news from my friends that people are under emotional strain from getting in and out of personal protective equipment that they wear for 8 hours. They take 15 minutes to get in the suit and 15 minutes to get out, and they spend 8 hours in the suit, and Malaysia's humid and warm weather with non-air-conditioned walls, and they're double-gloved, for example, and wearing face masks. They're sweating inside, and they're exhausted physically and emotionally.
Wow.
at the end of an 8-hour shift. They go home and they repeat again the next day. This is something that we need to consider, the health of our workers, or health workers rather, as they fight this unending, or rather a virus and an outbreak whose peak we don't know yet, as well as whose end we also don't know.
So it could be a long tail after the peak as well.
It could be.
All right, in the couple of minutes that we have left, I want to ask you, you know, you talked a little bit about the, you know, how much coverage there's been on COVID-19. What are some of the areas that perhaps haven't been highlighted as much? What are some of the areas that we've missed in covering this outbreak?
I can think of two, Melissa. The first one is our Institute of Medical Research, Malaysia's Institute of Medical Research, came up with the reagent and probes for the COVID virus. The reagents and probes are used to test for the virus. So it's a form of the chemicals that are used in laboratories to test for whether or not you have or have not the virus, or don't have the virus, rather. And we created, or rather the Institute for Medical Research, belonging to the Ministry of Health, created these probes and reagents several days before the World Health Organization published its protocol. So I think this is something for Malaysia to be proud of, indicating the faith that we should have in the science of Malaysia, following on our success in coding the Nipah virus and following our daily successes, I guess, in fighting outbreaks like dengue and tuberculosis and malaria on a daily basis, not just COVID.
Wow.
So this is one thing I'd like to highlight. The second thing, perhaps, is to talk about how we need to have a proportional response. Obviously, we need to be vigilant. We have to wash our hands. We have to be very careful about social distancing, which is a term that is used for reducing the virus, which is why we should avoid crowded places and self-quarantine if you're not feeling too well and seek attention very quickly. We should be really vigilant, I agree, but we should not paralyze ourselves with fear. There is a fine balance, and in this fine balance, I guess, political leaders in our country, even those really anyone from the village leader in the Rukun Tetanggas of Malaysia to the teachers in primary schools to the doctors who see patients on a daily basis, I think have a responsibility to appropriately calm the population so that we're vigilant without paralysing ourselves. I think these are two elements.
Well, I love the idea of just that washing your hands could be the major tool to fight this.
But also personal space, Sharad. So maybe
a little bit of this. Yeah, okay.
That's all the time we have on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us and informing us, giving us all these brilliant insights. That was Dr. Cosby King, physician and global health expert at Oxford University. I'm Melissa Idris with me, Sharad Kutan, signing off for tonight. We'll see you again tomorrow night on another episode of Consider This. Thank you for watching and good night.
Thank you.